Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to read verses 18 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 23. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 23. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, "Ye have seen that which I have talked to you with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with the gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold." And let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, I wish I had a better vocabulary. I wish I had the words to be able to preach today like you would if you were here. But I don't. But you made a promise in Jeremiah 1 that you would put your words in my mouth, and I pray that you would do that today. Lord, please speak through me in a very unusual way and allow the Holy Spirit to communicate that which I cannot to each and every individual today. Help us to take with us today that which we need. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in Exodus 20, if you'll listen to me, there is tucked away a truth that I believe will help you. It doesn't matter to me if you have not even gotten saved, that or if just recently, recent days, weeks, or months that you got saved, or if you've been saved a long time. I've been saved about 44 years, and I've been at this a long time. This truth will help you today. Here, Moses has been on Mount Sinai. He's been there for 40 days and 40 nights. I want you to notice something about this. In the earlier part of the chapter, and if you'll look at me, I can help explain it to you a little better than you reading it right now, because I need your attention. But Moses went up to Mount Sinai for God to give. Now, most people think it was just the Ten Commandments. God didn't take 40 days to write Ten Commandments. There was more given on Mount Sinai than just Ten Commandments. He took two tables of stone up there. God, with his own finger, wrote in there not just the Ten Commandments, but also gave the law, gave the blueprints for the tabernacle and the things that were supposed to be. God drew them out with his own finger for Moses to follow. Now, we won't get into that, but I want you to notice something about the story here. Moses went up on top of Mount Sinai. While he was up there, the Bible says the dark clouds came and stayed over the top of the mountain. And it flashed and crashed with lightning and thunder. The Bible says that it looked like the mountain on the top was smoking on fire. Now, the people down below, you have to understand, probably 3.5 to 5 million Jews were around the base of that mountain. That's like the population of Chicago looking up at the mountain, seeing what's going on. And they saw all that, and Moses came back during this time and said, "Look, I'm going to go back up. God wants me to bring you up there with me." To hear him say some things, and the people said, "Moses, we'll let you talk to us, but we're afraid of him. We don't want to talk to God." Notice what the Bible says there in verse number 19. It says, "But let not God speak with us, lest we die." Wow. How sad. Moses comes down and They're so afraid to talk to God because of what they saw from the underside. They were truly afraid and did not want to talk to God. Now, I want you to know something. Moses didn't say he wasn't afraid, but Moses obeyed anyway. Now, the second time when he went up, he wasn't afraid. But he went back up and he says, but Moses is there and he says, look, you don't have to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. Now, here's what makes this sad to me. They insisted and said, Moses, we're not doing it. We'll talk to you and you can go talk to God for us. We'll believe what you say that God said to you, but we're not going to talk to him ourselves. We're afraid. What a shame. What a shame. Moses goes back and talks to God again and then comes back. Now, you say, why were they afraid? I want you to notice something. It says that in verse 20 there, they were to go up for God to prove them. They said, yeah, but we're sinners. Our sin's going to cause us to die. God's perfection and God's holiness made them so uncomfortable that they did not want to talk to God. Wow. Do you know what? People don't like getting closer to God because they see themselves more clearly. I'm going to show you something here. And seriously, if everybody will look at me just for a second, for some reason I got lots of attention deficit this morning, amen? It's probably mine, not yours, but okay, all right? Here we go. Anybody and any preacher or any religious person that gets up and says, I've got a message from God and I have met God, look at me. Look what God did in my life. I have the power to heal. And he gets up like Ernest Angley, and this guy comes with cancer and he says, be healed in the name of Jesus. And he falls on the floor and he gets up and says, I'm healed. That's called being a fake. Somebody gets up and they're getting all wound up in a church service and they start jibber jabbering in some unknown tongue and they're flopping around and they're Yamaha Kawasaki, all those other big words that are coming out of their mouth, and oh, I got it, I'm filled with the Spirit. God is on me. They're a liar. I got a vision from God. I was in bed last night and saw a 900-foot Jesus. Oral Roberts. I always wondered this. A man that believed in faith healing, why did he build a multi-million dollar hospital? Why did he need a hospital if he could heal everybody? Everybody doing okay? They're fakes. Now, look at me for a moment. Any time in the Bible somebody caught a glimpse of God, or the closer to God they got, look at me, they didn't say, look at me. They said, woe is me. When Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, saw the Shekinah glory of God, he got down on his face and said, woe is me, for I am unclean, I am undone. When people saw God, they would bow because they saw themselves as they really were. Yes, sir. Yes, that's right. And the closer to God you get, the more you're going to see yourself as you really are. When I go soul winning, when many of you go soul winning, the first thing I do when I talk to somebody is I say this: the Bible says we're all sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, why is that? Because most of us think we're good enough to get there on our own. First thing man has to do is realize he can't get there on his own. He's a sinner. No matter how good he is, it's not good enough to get there. Say, why do you start with that, preacher? Because we've got to get to the point in our life where we realize we can't do it and we need him. That's what it's all about. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. He plays the part of a sinner so well. It just was there. Amen? Now, we humans have a way of covering our eyes to our sin instead of looking at it from God's point of view. You know, we look at ourselves and say, I'm pretty good. I could look at Evan Barnes and say, I'm doing better than him. I could look at Ellen Moore and say, I'm really doing better than she is. No. Here's the problem. I'm looking at from one sinner to another sinner. We have a way of comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. And God says, why don't you compare yourself to what I am? You see, how good do you have to be to get to heaven? As good as that book says and as good as Jesus Christ. Guess what? You don't qualify. So we can't get there on what we are. Wrong answer. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to take a few minutes and I need to teach you something. Then I'm going to get to the sermon. This is kind of a strange outline, but it will help you. I need you to see the eight ways that God has spoken to man in Scripture. There are eight ways God has spoken to man throughout the last 6,000 years of human history that I need you to see before I get to the real message. You won't have to take notes. It's very simple, but listen to me. First way is he spoke audibly. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, and God spoke, and the heavens and the earth were made. He separated the water from the land. God spoke. God spoke to Moses. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Moses saying. Notice, the word of the Lord came saying. It didn't say it came down in a book written out for him and he read it. Didn't say that God put those words in his mind and Moses wrote it down through his own interpretation. The word of the Lord came unto Moses saying, the word of the Lord came unto Joshua saying, the word of the Lord came unto Paul saying, the word of the Lord came unto Timothy saying. And the Bible says that God spoke audibly to people. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to every person that wrote the Bible. Say why? Because these are not man's words, they're God's words. God said, Moses put this down and he wrote it word for word. Say why? Because they're the words of God, not the words of Moses. So, first of all, God spoke audibly. He actually projected his voice to where people heard him. Number two, God spoke through angels. There are times where the angel Gabriel came and said, God has sent me to say this to you. He was bringing a message from God to man. Michael came. You see, when you go back to Matthew chapter 1, the angel of the Lord came unto Mary and Joseph, telling them about the Christ child that would be born through Mary. And it was an angel of the Lord that came to them saying that. The angel actually brought it word for word from heaven to man. Next, God in years gone by spoke through dreams. And I'm going to address this after a while. Hang in there. He spoke to Joseph through dreams. He spoke to the other Joseph in the New Testament through dreams. He spoke to Paul, Ananias, and spoke to the nation of Israel through dreams. Now, part of that was due in part because the word of God was not completely given and revealed to man. And I'll show you some things in a little while here. Number four. God spoke through a donkey. And it's not your pastor. But if you went to Numbers chapter 22, a man named Balaam, a backslidden Baptist preacher, started yoking up with people he wasn't supposed to associate with. He was out with the modernists, out with the politicians, making money instead of preaching, disobeyed God, and was going to go yoke up with them. And the donkey tried to stop him because there was an angel of the Lord there getting ready to whack his head off. And the donkey crushed Balaam's foot up against the wall and started getting beat by Balaam, and the donkey started talking to Balaam. Now, to me, the funniest part of the whole story was Balaam started talking back to that donkey and didn't think twice about it. Now, folks, if some donkey starts talking to me, I'm out of there. My puppy dog starts talking to me. We've got serious issues. All right? Balaam didn't think twice of it. You say, why? Because it was God talking through that donkey. Now, number five, God uses his Bible, the words of God, to speak to man. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible also says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, the Bible says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word, watch this, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4 says, man can't live unless the spoken words of God are here. So God spoke his word to man. Now, number six, creation. God speaks through creation. Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and there was light. God spoke and he divided the water from the land. God spoke and he created the plant life and he created the day and night cycle. God spoke and he created the animal life. God spoke all the critters into existence and all the different things we have. God shaped it all with his voice, and finally he came down and he made man with his hands and he breathed into man the breath of life. He expired from his lungs, inspired into man, life-giving words. And guess what? We still have them today. It's called the King James Bible. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Creation obeys God's voice. God talked to a whale and it came and swallowed up Jonah. God, through the plagues of Egypt, all of the nature things obeyed God's voice and spoke for God. And there was a raven that fed Elijah. There was fish that went into nets, and I could go on and on and on and on how that nature obeys God's voice. Next, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and the word of God, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Sword of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses the Bible, the word of God, to speak to us who have been saved. 1 Peter 1:23, much the same way, talks about the Spirit and the word speaking to our spirit in our hearts. Number 8, God uses the man of God. Jeremiah 1:8-9. Jeremiah said, I can't speak. I'm young. I'm a child. God, what right do I have to get up and preach? And he said, it's not you. He said, and I quote, I will put my words in thy mouth. So when the man of God gets up and preaches the words of God, not his own words, not church policy, not church history, but when he gets up and preaches God's words, that's God speaking through God's man by the Holy Spirit through God's words. Amen. Joshua, Moses, Jeremiah, David, Bible all says that the words and the man of God, God spoke to them and they spoke to others. And there's others in the scripture. I'm just trying to rapidly go through this. So there are 8 ways God spoke to man. Audibly, angels, dreams, the donkey, Bible, creation, the Holy Spirit, and the man of God. Now, those are the only 8 ways I find in scripture that God spoke to man. Now notice, there was no pope. There was no pope. By the way, God's not speaking through this one either. Everybody doing okay? Well, I think you're disrespectful. I think he's disrespectful for God. Any man that gets up and says you can't get saved and you don't need Jesus Christ, you need the Catholic Church and the Pope to get you to heaven, is wrong. He's not the vicar of Christ. He's the vicar of hell. I have no problem saying that. He's the one that said it, not me. He's the one that said you cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're not a Christian because of Jesus, you're a Christian because of the church. Folks, it's not in the book. It's not in the book. And I have the right to say that. It's not in the book. By the way, that's why he stood before Congress and said we should be wary of everyone who calls themselves fundamentalists. Everybody thinks he was referring to terrorism only. I hate to tell you, he was telling everybody to be wary of us. Now, notice, God didn't speak through tongues. And I mean tongues, jibber jabber. I do believe God uses the gift of tongues. Brother Stoltz, come here for a second. Brother Stoltz understands Spanish. If I'm out soul winning and I meet up with somebody that's Spanish, I don't speak Spanish real well. I can talk a little bit about food. I can even use the word baño. Say, what is that? That's if you got to go to the potty. That's the outhouse. Amen. Past that, I'm going to struggle a little bit. Amen. But if I'm talking to someone and I start trying to witness to them, I can say, Brother Stoltz, I need your help in Spanish. Why don't you quote to them, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not
como
one.
Está escrito, no hay justo ni aun uno.
For the all have sinned and come short of the glory of
por
God.
Cuanto todos pecaron y están destituidos de la gloria de Dios.
That is tongues. Anybody that is in here that understands Spanish knows he interpreted word for word what I said. I won't embarrass my secretary. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. My secretary understands sign language. To those that cannot hear, she can use her hands and speak to them. She doesn't use the signs that most of you know. Man, did I put that one down where you live, didn't I? Yeah, buddy. God, and you can call it what you want. I call that the gift of tongues. She has the ability to translate what someone says to what someone cannot hear and be able to use her hands to communicate with someone. The gift of tongues is not some jibber jabber to prove that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's garbage. That's a show. If you don't understand it, somebody else isn't either. Just so you know. That's this charismatic hodgepodge of let's just all feel good, let's all get together, hold hands, sing kumbaya, and flip and flop on the floor like a fish out of water. That's garbage. That's not God's tongues. Tongues are there for soul winning to get people saved. By the way, if you went to the book of 1 Corinthians, it's in 1 Corinthians. Yes, it is. And it also says, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. If somebody's not getting saved because of it, it's not scriptural tongues. Amen. Just so you know. Amen. That's what God said, not me. Amen. Everybody doing all right? Now, notice, it's not the faith healing service. Notice, it wasn't ghosts, goblins, and spooky voices. Oh, I was in bed last night and I heard great grandpa say something to me, so I know God was speaking to me. You had bad pizza before you went to bed, just so you know. Great grandpa didn't talk to you in a dream or in some spooky voice. All right? Did you realize that the only, listen to this statement, we're transitioning into the sermon. Did you realize that the only beings ever created to disobey God's voice are the devil and those who followed him? Creation always obeys God's voice. Everything obeys God's voice except the devil and those who followed the devil. By the way, when we sinned, we followed the devil. The only ones that struggle obeying the voice of God are those who followed the devil. Did you know Gabriel doesn't stand before God, Brother Stoltz, and say, God, why in the world do you want me to go down and tell them folks that? Uh-uh. He said, yes, sir. Sorry, wrong hand. Yes, sir. And he left immediately. Any angel that came and spoke to man, it was a direct act of obedience to God. They did not delay. Now, in one place in Scripture, Michael was sent. Gabriel had to come because the devil was fighting Michael. Gabriel had to come help whoop up on the devil so Michael could deliver the message. But it wasn't that Michael was delaying. He was delayed by opposition. The only place in Scripture you find that, just so you know. Man and the devil and those who followed the devil and the devil's ways are the only beings, the only creation to disobey or delay obedience to God. The only ones. Did you know that the sun doesn't yell at God at what time it is to get up every morning? Did you know that the ocean tides don't rebel against God? Did you know that the winds and the waves and the water cycle and gravity does not rebel against God?
Right.
Only man, the devil, and the angels that followed the devil. Now, God spoke creation into being, and it still obeys his voice. The angels obey his voice. By the way, this is his voice. It's the word of God. Did you ever notice, and I said this last Sunday night, if your iPod, iPad, computer, or your phone can handle a hot sermon, listen to last Sunday night's, amen? Preached on, I'll take Jesus over the Pope any day. Did you ever wonder why in such a society where everybody is against Christianity, why the Pope is such a big deal in America? Because he's not Christian. You see, man is not the authority. God is. When man sinned in the garden, he followed what the devil said. Man, if you do this, you could be like God, discerning right and wrong, good and evil for yourself. You can choose what's right. You can choose what's wrong. You don't need God to tell you. That's just like our society today saying, it's okay if you think you were born a man and you want to be a woman. You can say that. Now, to me, that's perverted and that's wrong. Well, two men can get married legally only in our Supreme Court's laws, eyes, not God's. God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. Everybody doing all right? And Eve wasn't Steve who decided she wanted to be Eve. You're not born with a birth certificate that says to be determined later. Everybody doing all right? Man is the only one who eliminates God, and man makes a bad God. By the way, the Pope's not the final authority. God's word is. The church is not the final authority. God's words are. The school is not the final authority. God is. The doctor's office is not the final authority. God is. Hang on to your seat. The government is not the final authority. God is. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, I want to read a verse to you. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, watch this, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. That means this, God passed away all those other ways of speaking. They have passed off the scene, and that is how he speaks to man today. By Jesus Christ, the Word of God. God does not speak any longer in dreams. Ooh, I had a 900-foot vision of Jesus. No, you didn't. Anchovies on your pizza at 1 o'clock in the morning will do that, amongst other things. Oh, I got a vision. No, you didn't get a vision. I hate to tell you. God put all that away. That's not God speaking. That's the devil speaking. Not God. Everybody doing all right? Having fun here. Hang on. You see, God revealed when the end of the Bible was printed and it was finally fully revealed, God said, I put all those things behind. I'm going to speak through my word, through my man, and my Holy Spirit. Those are the only three ways God speaks to man today. And may I say this, 99% of what God wants you to know, actually 100%, is all right there. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, he didn't tell me what color of shoes I was supposed to buy. You're right. Because I don't think it mattered. Everybody doing okay? It gets rid of this, I feel led stuff. So sick and tired of Baptist people. I feel led. That's Baptist terminology for charismatics. If God didn't lead through his book, he didn't lead you. God doesn't have to talk through animals. We have the revealed word of God. God does not speak in dreams and visions. We have the revealed word of God. God does not send angels to proclaim his words or his commands. We already have them in the word of God. By the way, God does not and never has spoken through your goosebumps and warm and tickly fuzzy feelings. We have the word of God. Oh, I got goosebumps when somebody talks, so I know God was in it. Well, I've gotten goosebumps sometimes, and it wasn't because of something like that. Now the question and the sermon. How do we know what God's will is? How do we know what God says to us in any certain situation? How do we know what to obey about God? Glad you asked. Number one. Man does not tell God how man wants to talk to him, and God have to obey him. Did you know you have no right to demand to God how he talks to you? I used to work at a Bible college part-time while I was an assistant pastor. And I'd have young men say, Brother Bush, I'm going to put my fleece out. Oh, really? Yeah, I told God if I had a 55-year-old man and a 52-year-old woman saved and down the aisle this week, I would go do this for him. And I look at him and say, you're an idiot. Well, that's God proving to me I'm supposed to go do this. I said, you won't find that anywhere in Scripture. You're an idiot. Why don't you just obey and let God do the rest? Everybody doing okay? Now hang in there. The creature is not to tell the creator how to speak to him. My dad sits back there. Look at me, not him. I'm younger looking than he anyway, for now. Some of you caught that. Listen to me. When I lived at home, if my dad said, take the trash out, it was my responsibility to take the trash out. Then, if he said it's got to be out by such and such time, that was him giving me a little bit of lenience. If he didn't put a time attached to it, it was time to do it. It wasn't my job to go to my dad and say, now, Dad, I've taken the trash out 2 of the last 3 weeks. I think it's time for Chris to take the trash out, and I don't think you're being fair to me. And I don't think that you should speak to me that way. Next time, I want a memo typed out, put on my pillow so that I know 24 hours in advance as I go to bed the night before, I know what's expected of me. Number one, I wouldn't have had that long to speak to him. There would have been a board of education applied to the seat of knowledge before all that could have ever got out of my mouth. His favorite pet answer to, "But Dad, yep, that's what's going to happen." Or, "You want to do it with or without a paddling?" That was your two options. You could do it with a paddling or without the paddling. You know, it only takes once or twice before you learn, do it without. Say, what was that? The child's not to tell the mom and the dad what to do. Mom and dad's supposed to tell the child what to do. I've been principal in 3 different Christian schools. Can I tell you something? You know, little ones get a little ornery every once in a while. And I'll look at them and say, you know what? 5-year-olds don't tell a 48-year-old man what to do. 48-year-old men tell 5-year-olds what to do. You will obey. Got me? Yes, sir. It's real simple. We live in a country where we let the kids tell us what to do. We don't tell the kids what to do. We let the student tell the teacher what to do. It's not the teacher telling the student what to do. Everybody doing okay? Man, am I having fun. America's got this thing backwards. By the way, the scripture said in the last days that the child shall lead the adult. And that good would be evil and evil will be good. And because we've allowed this all to happen, watch this, I'm going to make a statement here. Everybody look at me. Just because man rewrites the Bible doesn't mean that God's going to speak through those other Bibles. That's man's spin on the Bible to make himself feel better. El Papa has his own Bible. It's not the real Bible. The Catholics rewrote it. Everybody doing okay? By the way, it was not the first church. Catholic Church didn't start till 313. It doesn't go all the way back to Jesus' day. Well, it goes all the way back to Peter. No, it doesn't. Well, Peter was the first pope. No, he wasn't. And if he did, they're wrong today because Peter had a mother-in-law. And if he had a mother-in-law and didn't have a wife, he's stupid. Can I tell you something? The Catholic Church didn't start till 313 under Constantine. John the Baptist baptized Jesus after Jesus started the church. John's last name was not Baptist, just so you know. That makes Jesus a Baptist, just so you know. Now listen to me. Just because man rewrites the Bible, by the way, man rewriting the Bible is humanism. This community church mentality to have a big crowd, and we think big crowd means success. No, it doesn't. No, it does not. So, man is not to tell God how man is going to talk to God. That's God's business, not man's. Number two, everybody doing all right? I will hurry, I promise you. Number two, you do not seek God telling you what to do. He'll make it quite obvious. My son, Dad, about a year and a half ago, God wants me to start a church. Great. He said, where should I start it? I said, give it time. God will make it known. Well, I'm going to go to Georgia. Okay, you go to Georgia. I let it settle for a couple weeks, Brother Bob. Then things were happening in his bus route area and revival cut loose and he started getting a burden for that area. I said, why don't you go talk to your preacher about it? I said, why don't you ask him if you could chunk a part of that part of Kentucky off, claim it as your own, start a church there. You already got some influence there. Well, Dad, I said, just humor me. He went to his preacher. Josh, where do you want to go? He said, I really want to go to Georgia. And they talked about it, and he gave him some advice. He said, now, my dad said I was supposed to say this to you. He said, Dad, the whole conversation changed. Brother Fugit sat up, leaned forward, got a spark in his eye, and started talking about 300 miles an hour. He said, for months, he and Brother Fugit would go down to a certain city there, and they were looking for buildings to rent, this, that, and the other thing. And Brother Fugit got all excited about it. And then just a few months ago, pulpit needed filled in South Shore, Kentucky. He said, Josh, I need you to go fill a pulpit for me on Sunday. Sure, preacher. He went, came back. He said, I need you to do a little research on the area for me. We might need to send a graduate out there. He said, no problem. He did. Then they had need for him to come back and fill the pulpit again. He said, I want you to go. He said, yes, sir. He went, came back. The next day, they said they were voting on him as pastor, and he didn't even know he candidated. He didn't go looking at South Shore, Kentucky. Now, folks, South Shore, Kentucky makes us look like uptown folk. It's a town of 1,800 folks. I mean, it's a tiny little place. But God made it very obvious what he was to do. He didn't go looking for it. He just, by the way, say, where should I look for the will of God? Right there. If it's not in there, don't do it. Don't do it. You say, well, I can't find it. Then go ask the man of God and see if it's in there. And if he says it's not in there, don't do it. I hate saying it that simply, but that's what it is. You see, it can come through my preaching or a man of God's preaching. A man of God, not the Pope. Often it'll come as a surprise to you because you're not looking for it. Did you know for about 23 years of my life, I had no desire to pastor? None. I was in the ministry, an assistant pastor, doing fine, having a good time, doing what God wanted me to do. About 3 years ago, God said, you're supposed to start Grace Baptist Church. Now, I know you don't talk to him like this, but I do. I was walking the streets in a different state, and I said, you've got to be kidding me. And I said, God, that's not funny. I don't want to do that. And God said, I'll change your wanter. You just obey. I waited weeks. It got worse and worse and worse in my spirit. And one day I said to my wife, I think God wants me to start a church. She said, are you crazy? I said, you already knew that. She said, I don't think I'm ready to be a pastor's wife. I said, I don't think I'm ready to be a pastor. Let's just pray about it, see what God wants. I was preaching in New Jersey, Brother Mike Dingus. Sat down, he was getting ready to offer me a position Sunday afternoon that I was preaching for him. I preached in a Sunday school conference and preached in his church. He looked at me and said, Brother Bush, God wants you to start that church. I said, what church? He said, there where you're at. I said, I wasn't thinking about it. He said, yes, you are. I said, you and I haven't talked one thing about this. How do you know this? He said, it's all over you. He said, I was getting ready to offer you a position, but I'm not going to. God wants you to go start that church. I was eating. I lost my appetite. I literally couldn't put another bite of food down my mouth. I was done. I went back. I had to preach after that. I had a couple hour break between that service and the evening service. Went back to my room. My wife and I talked on the phone. She said, honey, you'll never guess. I said, what? She said, I was at church this morning. I went to the altar. The preacher was preaching. Had nothing to do with what he was preaching about. But I went to the altar and gave it to him. And if God wants you to start a church, let's do it. Seven days later, Grace Baptist Church started. Literally. Can I tell you something? I wasn't looking for it. I was the last one to do this, just so you know. I sat in the car with Dr. Jack Hiles 4 months before he died. He said, let's talk about your future. How about you pastoring? I said, no, sir. I said, my favorite word in the English language is preacher. He said, son, you're smart. If I'd have known that 52 years ago, I wouldn't have pastored either. I was comfortable. But God made it very clear. God made it clear. I didn't have to go looking for it. And just because you're content doing what you're doing doesn't mean God can't change the plan. Number one, man doesn't tell God how man's going to talk to him. Number two, you don't seek God telling you what to do. He'll make it very obvious. Number three, And I love this. God will only speak to those who are obeying him already. Amen. Did you know that God's not going to smack you in the head if you're not already obeying him? I watch people who get out of church, who don't come to church regular, don't read their Bible like they should, don't pray like they should, not following and obeying that Bible like they should, and they'll come to me and say, I believe God wants me to do this. And my first question is this: how spiritual are you right now? It's amazing how many people move away from a church that aren't doing anything for God and tell us God moved them. Everybody doing all right? God's not going to speak to you unless you're already obeying him. Man, is it quiet in here or what? God can only know you will listen to what he wants you to do if you're already obeying him in what he's already told you to do. You don't need to go looking for him. You need to get busy doing what you already know what to do. Well, I think God wants me to do something. Okay, get busy where you are, doing what you're supposed to do, where you're at, doing it, and God will make it obvious. I have to tell this story. I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but I was working as an assistant pastor in South Carolina. I was busy. My wife will tell you, I was busy. Oh, my soul. I oversaw the Christian school. I oversaw the youth department. I had a young couples class. I oversaw the nursing home ministry with I think at that time, about 15 different nursing homes we went into every week. I'd started a little league. I had three different levels of little league. Didn't have a bat, ball, uniform one. Started it from ground zero and no place to play. We had to do it all. I got all that going. In 4.5 years, I filled the pulpit in the church 42 times. The pastor traveled 1 week a month around the country and around the world preaching, and I ran everything, and I didn't even have a secretary. And there was other things I did on top of that. I was busy. A phone call eventually came, but my dear friend, Brother Jeff Owens, wanted me to come work for him and Brother Hiles at First Baptist. Brother Hiles would come to our church once a year and preach. I would host him, pick him up at the airport, take him to and from the hotel from time to time. And he said, Jeff, why do you want Craig? He said, that's who I want. He said, but he's already busy. He's already helping down there in South Carolina. Seems like he's happy. He said, last time I was there, asked him if he wanted to go anywhere. And he said, no, he was happy doing what he's doing. He said, why would you want somebody that's already happy doing what they're doing? He said, would you want me to hire somebody that is not content where they're at? He said, I'll talk to his pastor. He hated it when you threw his own words back in his mouth. Amen? I got blindsided by the fact that Brother Hiles wanted me to go back and work for him and Brother Owens there in Indiana. The phone call came. I got through the phone call, and I went home and looked at my wife and said, you better sit down. And I don't care if you do, but I am, because I can't stand up anymore. I told her what the phone call was. We both were about as white as her sweater is right now. I mean, white as a sheet. I said, I got to go back to work, but we'll walk and talk about this later. But I struggled through that last couple hours of the day and went home, and boy, I didn't know how God was going to do all that. I didn't look for it. I didn't call. God called. Moses was being a shepherd in the wilderness, and God spoke to him through a burning bush. Moses wasn't looking and politicking God to say, hey, the Jews are slaves. How about you let me go in there and get all them critters out? He said, who, me? He was busy doing what God wanted him to do. How about David? He wasn't looking to be king. Matter of fact, David's family said he's the least likely. He was out tending sheep while all the brothers were there, and the prophet of God came to anoint a king, and he said, none of these are it. Do you have any more boys? We just got little David. He's out back tending sheep. They said, go get him. He wasn't looking to be king. Hey, how about Philip? He was preaching a revival. God said, leave the revival, go out into the middle of the wilderness, and there's going to be an Ethiopian eunuch there, win him to Christ, baptize him, and then come back to the revival. But God, I got success going on. Just obey me, go win that man. A man named Ananias, he was a layman in the book of Acts. Ananias and his wife were dear people, and they were busy serving in the church there. God came to Ananias and said, hey, the apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who's out killing Christians, just got saved. I want you to bring him to your house, heal him up, help him, teach him the word of God, so he'll quit killing Christians. That would be like saying, go get Osama bin Laden's kinfolk, bring them to your house, and teach them to be Baptist preachers. That was the equivalent. Ananias obeyed. Everybody doing all right? You see, don't seek God's will. Obey it, and God will reveal it to you. Everybody thinks that God's going to come to you one time, tell you everything you have to do for the rest of your life. Well, he did. It's there. But God also said in Romans chapter 12 that you will do that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not that you'll do the good or the acceptable or the perfect will. He said, my will is doing the good and the acceptable and the perfect. The will of God is progressive as you go through your life. We're so worried that, oh, I got a child and he thinks you ought to go to the mission field. I tell children all the time that you just surrender to do what God wants you to do. We'll let God decide later where you're going. Everybody doing okay? God's will is progressive. He doesn't speak through dreams. He doesn't speak through donkeys anymore. He doesn't speak through all those things. But may I say this, God does speak through his word. He does speak by the Holy Spirit with his word. By the way, God's not going to tell you to sell your house, sell everything you have, give all your money to the church, and live by faith. That's contrary to the word of God. That's not right. This preacher wouldn't let you do that, just so you know. So you would refuse money if you're going to ruin your family? Yes. That's stupid. Everybody doing okay? Huh. Well, I do know this. God said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means this. God doesn't want you to die and go to hell. God does not want any of his creation to follow the devil all the way to hell. That's why he gave us Jesus Christ and the word of God and the will of God so that you could know for sure you're going to heaven someday. God did all that for you. By the way, if you'll obey that, he'll show you what the next step is. And if you'll obey that, he'll show you what the next step is. And if you'll obey that, he'll show you what the next step is. So many times we want to know the end before the beginning. God says, you just start down the trail and I'll reveal it as you need it, step by step. Day by day, step by step. We get so worried about it. If you've been saved, maybe you need to get baptized. Maybe you've been saved and baptized and you need to join church. Maybe you've been saved, baptized, and joined church, but you haven't told anybody about Jesus Christ lately. You need to get up off your blessed assurance, go out soul winning, and tell somebody about Jesus. Maybe you just need to get involved in inviting folks to church. Just get busy doing what God said do. He'll show you what the next step is. It's that simple. He's not going to come to you. I wanted to use the passage and I'm done. God doesn't speak in the wind. God doesn't speak in the fire. God doesn't speak in the waves of the sea. The Bible says that he'll speak in a still, small voice. A still, small voice. That's the Holy Spirit in accordance with the word of God. When what the Holy Spirit tells you is in line with the word of God, and the man of God verifies it for you, you're doing God's will. It's that simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't have any doubt at all about it. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. There are some hands that could not go up, and thank you. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not come to you. I'll not embarrass you. But you say, that's me. I'm not 100% sure, but someday I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? Good. There's a couple hands that went up. Thank you. to those that just raised their hand saying they're not sure, in a moment, the music will begin to play. We'll stand to our feet. When we do, you come forward. We'll have somebody take the Bible. Honestly, in a matter of about 2 minutes, you'll know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Who would say, "Preacher, there's something in that sermon today that I needed. There's a part of that, or maybe several parts, that were just for me, and I really needed that." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Many of you ought to use this altar today. Many of you ought to come to this altar and talk to your God and get some things settled. But to those that need to trust Jesus as your Savior, don't leave here on your way to hell, please.